Welcome to the Songs of Note podcast, where we talk about the songs we love and the stories behind them. I'm your host, Ryan Gregg.
Hey, this is Ryan. Thank you so much for joining me for the Songs of Note podcast, where we talk about songs and the stories behind them and artists and bands and all things music. If you're here for the first time, welcome to the show. If you are a repeat listener, I'm glad to have you. Either way, I hope you're subscribed. If you want to make sure you don't miss future episodes, be sure and hit the subscribe button so that you can catch future episodes. And like I've mentioned before, we've got a ton of episodes that have already been recorded with some great guests. You can go back and dig through those as you have time. It's just really fun getting to do podcasts about music and talk to really great people. So today's guest, it's a first as far as a this type of guest. I have a rock photographer on, and his name is Jamie Beaton. And so I'm going to tell you kind of the story of how I got connected with him. If you listen to the show at all, you know that I am a huge Elliott Smith nerd. I love Elliott Smith. He's my favorite singer-songwriter of all time. There are a couple different podcast episodes I've done that you can go back and listen to episodes about him. The biographer, William Todd Schultz, I did an interview with him. You can go back and listen to the episode with JJ Gonson, who was I did have her on. That's true. That was another photographer. She had stories about Elliott Smith and about Kurt Cobain, which is a totally cool episode. So you can go back and check that one out. Anyway, love Elliott Smith. The reason I got connected to Jamie is because I play guitar. I used to play guitar in a band back in the day. I love learning guitar from artists and bands that I love, songs that I love. And for the longest time, there was not an Elliott Smith guitar book. And I mean, I would, like, at least once or twice a year, go check on Amazon. Is there an Elliott Smith guitar book? One with, for you guitar players, one with tablature, not just the chord sheets, because those are not helpful. And so finally they put one out, and of course I got it as soon as it came out. And from the moment I got it, I was always taken with the cover. There's a cover of this guitar book, and it's a close-up picture of Elliott Smith. It looks to be around the XO Good Will Hunting time period. It's close up. He's got like a t-shirt of some kind of, looks like a video game. It's probably a specific video game that I'm just not aware of. But it's the coolest photo. And it was, and I've had that book for a couple years now. And a week or two ago, whenever it was, I was playing in it as someone does and learning some Elliott Smith guitar parts. I'm sounding very nerdy right now, but hey, that's what we're talking about, is music. And so I'm looking at the cover going, man, what a cool photo. I wonder if that is available anywhere online. And so I go to the front of the book, and it says, you know, the name of the artist is Jamie Beaton. And so I go online and I start searching. So I don't know if you guys have ever searched for rock photos or music photos, but they're so expensive. Like, they're, I mean, I've been on sites where people are charging $900 to start for a photo. Now these are huge bands a lot of times that are able to charge those prices. Not the band, but the photographer is charging high prices for the band because the band's famous. But it just puts it outside the realm of possibility for in my mind, for a lot of people, for what they might be willing to pay. Now you can get like a cool band poster. I can go get a really cool Led Zeppelin poster, but it's not a print. And so there's like a difference in photo versus the print. And the rock print world is, it's just very specific, and the prices are super high. So I went on this hunt, super skeptical that I would even be able to find something in a manageable price range. And so I land and find Jamie's site. He's on Etsy. He has his own shop with these killer photos. He's taken photos of not only Elliott Smith, Tom York, lead singer of Radiohead, Johnny Greenwood from Radiohead, Depeche Mode, Elvis Costello, the White Stripes, Michael Stipe from REM. Like, he has a ton of great photos. So I see the photo and I see the photos there, and I'm like, okay, these are great. Actually, he didn't have the Elliott Smith photo listed at the time, and I messaged him with the photo of my guitar book. Hey, are you the photographer that did this? And do you have this for sale? Anyway, he wrote right back, super kind, great interaction, responded all along the way, and he now has that photo up for sale on his site. All that to say, Jamie is offering a 10% coupon code just to Songs of Note listeners. So one, the photos are already priced at a reasonable price. They're not crazy, and they're great prices. Two, he signs them. There's a seal of authenticity on the back of the photo, and then he ships it to you, and 10% off on top of that. So you can click the link in the show notes to find his store. When you click the link, it automatically applies the code. That code for 10% off is good through 2021. So he's extended that, like I said, the exclusive to Songs of Note podcast listeners. If you want to go support Jamie, like I did, I've ordered from him. And like I said, that photo of Elliott Smith is just one of my favorites. You can do that. Anyway, I've rambled on. I appreciate that you're here, and I'm excited to share the interview with Jamie, where I get to ask him some questions about what it was like shooting these guys and hearing about seeing Radiohead in a club of 600 people and just a bunch of other cool rock music stories. So let's head on over to the interview with Jamie Beaden now. Hey, I have Jamie Beaden here. Jamie, thank you so much for taking time to come on the podcast today.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for asking.
Man, I have really enjoyed getting to interact with you, and it's been really cool to find your photos. I feel like I stumbled upon an amazing little hidden corner of the internet when I came across your Etsy site, just of these really cool photos that are for sale at a really good price.
Thanks, man. Hopefully not too hidden.
Yeah, no, I thought it was so cool though, because I hadn't been there before. I've seen some of those photos before that you've taken, but I had never seen them for sale. So it was like, oh, what? This is awesome. And so, I bought an Elliott Smith one off the side, and I'm just excited to be able to talk about some of your experience today. How did you get into like music photography in general?
I went to art college, and I wasn't good enough to be in a band. So I thought the closest I could get is probably taking pictures of bands, and there was quite a good little scene in the town that I went to college in. It was quite vibrant, so there's a lot going on. So I kind of became a slight bit of a court photographer, I guess, to a lot of bands. Although none of them sort of got big, it was a kind of a good way to get experience.
Nice. So what time period are we looking at here? Like around what time?
I was at college 91 to 94, around okay. then.
So a really cool time in music too. So you initially started kind of getting some practice, getting around some bands like that, and then how did that lead into doing other photo shoots with even bigger name artists? How did you make that jump?
Yeah, so I moved to London after I graduated, because I kind of knew what I wanted to do, and that was shoot bands. And I spent about 6 months kind of banging my head against the wall, just really failing to do what I wanted to do. And then finally I managed to get in with a magazine called Dazed and Confused.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if you know, it was very very cool, very sort of hip magazine then. It still is, but it was kind of early days then. And although there was kind of no money involved, you did get access to people. And I ended up working for about 3 years assisting a photographer called Rankin, who's a big name photographer. And part of the deal was, although you didn't get paid an awful lot, you did get to shoot stuff for the magazine, so you could build a portfolio and then move on.
Do you remember any of the like bands that struck you at the time? Like, oh, I can't believe I'm getting to work on this shoot. Was there anybody that comes to mind?
Oh yeah. I mean, a few. There was, I guess the first big thing I did was, Ian Brown. Shortly after he'd left the Stone Roses. I know he's not so big in the States, but he's kind of a big deal over here.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it was like a double book thing. Rankin was supposed to be doing it, and he just was away on another job. And I was at the studio, and he says, well, I've seen your work. You're pretty – why don't you do it? And I was like, oh, okay. but Rankin being Rankin, he spent the whole time like winding me up like, you know, he's on his way. Don't mess it up. And I'm like, oh, thanks, man.
That's awesome.
Yes, but it was good. And he was cool. He just sort of rocked up, just him and his girlfriend. There was no big entourage. And he had a sort of a big duffel bag full of various anoraks that he wore. And yeah, it was great. It was a good first time.
Well, I'm curious about this. I'm somebody who, if I am around a musician whose music I like, I get really anxious and kind of nervous and real nerdy. So it's a combination a little shaky, and I feel the need to go up and talk to him, and I'm going to be the awkward guy because I'm so excited. Have you run into that? Like, are there people you photographed that you got nervous about, or are you able to just turn it off and be like, this is professional, I'm not going to get nervous? How does that go for you?
Yeah, I think the nerves comes more from knowing that maybe you're not going to get very long, or the person perhaps has a bit of a reputation for being difficult, so you're kind of slightly, it's not nervous, but you're kind of like, okay, how's this going to go?
Yeah.
I've never been nervous meeting someone because I like their music. It's probably the opposite. The more I like them, the easier I find it, I guess, because... You know, I think there's something there. But yeah, I would get nervous if someone said, look, you've got 10 minutes in a corridor and you've got to get 6 pages. And it's like, okay, I'm a bit nervous about that, but yeah. I'll do my best.
Have you, without naming names, have you photographed anybody who was difficult? Don't tell me the name, but like, did you have?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How does that go? Like,
well, it's just tricky because you sort of walk away from it thinking like, oh, you know, they were such a pain in the ass. But you kind of don't know what kind of day they're having. Yeah. You know, their dog might have died the day, but you just don't know.
Yeah.
So you kind of don't want to judge people too much unless you meet them several times and they're, you know, each time they're a pain. And you think, okay, so you are a pain. That's just who you are.
There's a pattern here.
There's a pattern, yeah. And if that... but. You know, these one-offs, you're like, okay, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. But I've spoken to other photographers who, you know, you say, oh, I photographed so-and-so the other day, and they'll be like, oh, yeah, was that tough? And like, oh, yeah, and like, yeah, me too. Mm. So, you know, some people just are. But it's a bit of a game, a bit of a dance. You know, you do your best.
Is there an artist that you've photographed that you felt very proud of? I'm sure you feel proud of a lot of the ones that you've done, or like an experience with one of them that you thought, we really made something special, or does anything like that come to mind from your
I mean it's hard to say really, because some artists just don't care. You know, for that, they just aren't, either they're too busy or they haven't got the time, or they just aren't massively they're not visual people, so those can be quite tricky. But if you get to work with someone who has a vision and has an idea, and you make that idea happen and you collaborate, I always find, you know, that was the most rewarding, like having a proper collaboration with someone or a band or, you know, a solo person.
Well, you took one of my favorite Elliott Smith photos, and I set up where I got the photo in the intro to this podcast, so I won't retell the story. The photo is just, as somebody who has followed Elliott Smith like incredibly closely and know a lot of photos of him, he has photos in different times where he was like kind of, I think of like pre big time famous, which is before like Good Will Hunting, and then after where he was dealing with different things.
And
I feel like you captured him in my mind at the, like, he's clearly there, he's totally present, he looks alert, he looks very much like himself around album-wise. I'm guessing that's around the XO time period, but I wonder if you'd talk a little bit about, like, how'd you get it set up with Elliott, and what was it like shooting those shots of him?
Yeah, so that was on the promotional tour for when he was Oscar nominated.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was finding that whole experience very strange. Like, you know, he's this punk rock guy from Oregon, and suddenly he's having to deal with questions about Oscars. I think he thought the whole thing was really weird. But my girlfriend at the time, she had a couple of the CDs. I think she had that CD.
Yeah.
So we listened to that quite a lot. And that's a great record. Oh, I mean, that's such a good record.
I love it.
But I didn't know much about him. Apart from that, I didn't really know much about him. And, you know, there wasn't really much of an internet then, so you couldn't really just go and look someone up on YouTube. Yeah. You kind of, you knew the music or you didn't. So I listened to that a lot. And then really weirdly, like within a couple of weeks of hearing that, I was asked to take his, you know, take his portrait for the, right. For the magazine for Dazed. And it was like, oh, this feels, you know, serendipitous. This feels cool. And it was just one of those ones where, you know, I wish I'd known more about him beforehand because, you know, if I'd have known how kind of shy he was, I perhaps would have been a bit more in your face with this sort of stuff. I wouldn't have said, look, stand there, I'll take your picture. Perhaps I would have done something more reportage, got him doing something and just stood back and shot.
Okay.
But I didn't know at the time that he really hated having his picture taken.
Yeah.
But, you know, bless him, he gave me what I needed.
Man, well, I'm pumped because that's the photo that I went and found and how we initially got connected. So I'm just glad that you were able to capture that moment and that I'm able to have that little piece of, you know, to show my love for his music. So through your photo, which is a cool connection.
Thanks, man. It was one of the first shots I did where I thought, yeah, I'm getting the hang of this now.
Nice.
And again, it wasn't very long. It was like maybe 30 minutes tops.
Nice.
And he was whisked away again. So yeah, I kind of walked away thinking, yeah, this is good. I've got something here.
Oh, that's cool. Well, you also photographed Tom York, who is just, you know, one of my favorite singers as well from Radiohead, and just seems like a very interesting character, at least as a persona. But I'm curious what he was like. Like, a lot of your photos of him are really close. What was that? What was he like? And what was that experience being so close with him like?
Yeah, he's kind of intense. Well, he was then, but I love their music, and that was one of the best shows I'd ever seen. That was in a little club in Washington in DC, and it was before I think it was after Paranoid Android, but before OK Computer. So it's that little bit before the record had come out. So we didn't really know what you were going to get, and I was out there on a job for Q, the British music magazine.
Nice.
And it was an assisting job. I was with Rankin, and Rankin was shooting him for the cover. But he couldn't stay to do the live stuff. He had to go back for another. So I got to stay an extra day and see the show and take pictures. I know. I was really pleased. I mean, Rankin wasn't very happy, but I was really pleased. And, so we did some live stuff. And then after the show, I was a bit cheeky. I said, can I grab you for 5 minutes and just take some portraits? And he said, yeah. Which was great. I was kind of expecting him to say, no, I don't want to do it, but he was cool. He says, I'll give you 5 minutes, and it literally was, but, you know, he didn't have to. He was cool.
Oh, man, that's so cool. I'm impressed.
You have to ask sometimes, you know.
Gosh, I'm impressed you had the gumption to go up to him and ask. That's awesome. Well, yeah, you have some great shots.
I was younger then. I was braver, perhaps.
You've got some great shots of Johnny Greenwood, too. And you saw him at the OK Computer, like, time period. Oh, man, I'd kill to see one of those.
They were so good that night. Because they were still playing stuff off the Benz and a bit off the first record as well.
Nice.
But they were playing all that stuff off OK Computer that no one had heard before. And you were just... It was like a 2.5-hour show, and it was amazing. It was so good.
That is awesome. I saw them on the Amnesiac tour, which was two albums after that. But I always thought, man, if I could go back, that is a record. The OK Computer record is the songs are geared around a live band or around a band sound that I imagine were just awesome.
And it was a little theater as well. It wasn't a big venue. It was maybe like a 600 capacity theater.
No way.
It was great. Yeah.
Are you serious? Oh.
Yeah, I was lucky.
I'm jealous. Ugh, that is awesome. Elvis Costello, you have a really great picture of Elvis Costello. Where is that? He's sitting there playing guitar, and there's all these photos behind him. Where are you guys in that picture that you took?
We're in Dublin.
Okay.
It's in a boxing club.
Oh, okay. What was he like? He had such a mystique around him. I've always wondered what he'd be like to interact with.
Yeah, I love his music. I love Costello. I don't want to say he's tricky because he was really great with me. But I think from what I remember the art director telling me, that shoot was tricky to set up because he was kind of, I don't think he wanted to do it.
Huh.
And I think he was looking for reasons not to. So I think he sort of said, I'll do it if you come to Dublin. So the magazine, like, okay, yeah, we'll go to Dublin. And then he's like, okay, I'll do it if we do it in a boxing club. And I'm like, okay, we'll do it. And he goes, I'll do it if you know, I can have a couple of models as like my ring girls. So we hired a couple of models as well for some of the shots. So it was kind of the whole time, it was like him trying to find reasons not to do it, but we kept saying yes. So we kind of backed him into a corner and he had to do it.
Man, well, the photos are so cool. Are there photographers that you look to that you think, I want to try to imitate that kind of style, or here's like a band, I like the way they're shot, I want to try to shoot like that. Is there any element of that going through your mind when you're taking photos?
When I was a student, I was obsessed with Anton Corbijn. You know, the U2 and Depeche Mode, REM stuff.
Joy Division.
Yeah. I just was like, I was just like that. He's the guy, you know. And I still love his work, but it's very unique to him. And I think if someone's trying to be him, it really shows. And it's like, you want to be. I loved him. And there was guys called the Douglas Brothers who were English photographers. They're a team. They worked a lot large format. He did beautiful kind of moody portraits of bands. I loved them. And then, you know, the sort of the classics, really, you know, sort of the Penny Smiths and, Kevin Cummins, people like that. Yeah, they're all great.
It's interesting to hear you talk about photography in a way where you can spot somebody trying to imitate somebody else as like, as somebody who does not have an eye for it. Like, I would probably be the guy be like, I don't know, that one looks good or that looks good. But when I listen to music, I know music enough to say, oh, that band is ripping off this band, or they're trying to sound like that band. So that's interesting that you're bringing that angle of it, that level of expertise.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, just from a visual rather than audio kind of way of looking at it, I guess.
That's cool. Well, you mentioned REM just a minute ago. I know you have a photograph that is super cool of Michael Stipe. And in our email exchange, you mentioned that there was some kind of thing that happened with your prints or with your negatives of Michael Stipe. What, you mind telling me a little bit about that story? What happened there?
Yeah, this is quite painful to talk about. The lab lost all the negs. Because obviously this is negatives. This isn't digital. This is a physical object that exists. And if it gets lost, it's gone forever. So all I have from that shoot is the master print. So I have a high res scan of that master print of that one image, but everything else is, I mean, there wasn't a lot. Again, it was like a really short 15 minutes kind of job, but there was like maybe 4 or 5 rolls of film. So we're talking maybe 50 or 60 images, of which I'm sure some were probably pretty good, but I will never know because they are in the ether somewhere.
I mean, did they just ruin it? Was that what happened?
No, they came out and I saw them and they looked good, and then something happened between me wanting them and them looking for them, and they were just not there anymore. It's weird. It's the only time it's ever happened to me.
Really?
It was a real bad situation, and the lab were incredibly apologetic. I mean, it was frustrating.
That's tough. Well, hey, the one photo, I can't believe the one that you have is a killer photo. It's awesome. It's a great Michael Stipe.
That's a good one.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, do you have other...
I hadn't noticed, actually. Sorry, I hadn't noticed before. He's got incredibly blue eyes.
Yeah.
And I'd never seen that before until I met him and I took his photo. And incredibly blue eyes. Huh. And, yeah, so I'm glad the one shot I've got is in color because, you need that. Reason.
When you're shooting, this is going to be a dumb question for the non-photography guy. Are you choosing in advance if you're shooting in black and white or in color or in specific types of color?
Sometimes you would get a brief from the picture editor or the art director of the magazine, and they'd ask for something quite specific. But often I'd try and do both if I had time. I used to shoot with a medium format camera, which had you could switch the backs, so you could have color in one and black and white in the other.
Okay.
So halfway through, you could just switch it over and try and get both. But sometimes you just knew if it was I shot David Thewlis, the actor, uh-huh. in a lot of Harry Potter films and that stuff. And I knew that was a black and white shot as soon as I saw him. I knew that wasn't going to work in color, so I didn't even bother. That's all black and white.
Huh. Well, what about, is there anybody that you've done lately that has been fun to do, or any bands that come to mind that you shot and you've thought, you know, that is a really great one?
Yeah, I mean, I don't shoot as much band stuff anymore, mm-hmm. simply because... I kind of, not that I shot everybody I wanted to shoot, that's not true, but I did a lot of that sort of stuff. And a lot of the bands coming through, I didn't really have much affinity with. You know, I didn't really, they weren't the bands that made me feel anything. So I kind of thought, well, let the kids who like this shoot it, you know, because that's what you should do. So I shoot a lot more kind of reportage stuff now, street photography, that sort of thing. But yeah, I've shot a few sort of friends or just people who ask me. I don't sort of pursue the work anymore, but I still get asked. And if it's someone I think is talented and interesting, then I'll do pictures for them.
You also had some really cool shots of the White Stripes, and man, that was a brief time period there. What was that like connecting with them and doing their photographs? Do you have any memories of that session?
Yeah, that was fun. That was for a British magazine called Mojo.
Yeah,
which is a really, really great music magazine. And I think that was one of their first big UK. It was like six pages, I think. It was quite a big deal for them at the time. And Jack, I remember saying, was actually a fan of that magazine, which always helps.
Yeah.
So we shot them on tour in Toulouse in France. They were doing that tour, and it was just at the Student Union, the bar at the local uni.
Really?
Yeah, it was amazing. And they packed it out. So I reckon there's probably maybe 300 people in there in a tiny little student bar. But it was packed, man. And it was amazing, and it was loud and rock and roll and sweaty, and it was such a great show. And but they were lovely. They had tour flu, which is the only issue, so they were kind of like, we feel terrible, but we love this magazine and we want to be in it. So
man, what a bonus to like getting to photograph them. You got to see the White Stripes in front of 300 people, Radiohead in front of 600. That's crazy.
I know. And then the White Stripes thing was just, it was just one of those things where when I finished with it, I thought, and I saw them play, and I'd heard the records, but seeing them live was just like, I was thinking, they're going to be huge. And, you know, you're not always right, but I just knew. And, you know, within 3 or 4 months of that, they were probably, they were massive. They were doing festivals.
Well, I love the photographs that you have of them, specifically because they would always wear the red and white, you know, uniform, so to speak, and it just jumps out. I mean, every photo that you have of them is like, oh, it's the White Stripes. Like, as soon as you see it, there's no doubt, because they're wearing the thing that, like, they're known for wearing, and I don't know, there's something just so cool about seeing that. I love it.
There's actually a little thing about that shot. You can't see it because I've retouched it out, but Jack's got a big, he's basically worn those red trousers so much he's worn the knee out. And there was a hole in them, because I don't think they had a lot of, I think they had like a tour outfit, you know, they wore it all the time. So I did actually use Photoshop just to repair the hole in his in his back tour trousers.
Well, so just music related question, you've shot a lot of bands. Are there any other bands that you saw in those early years that maybe you didn't get to photograph, but they were super memorable, or like favorite like shows? You've brought up some super cool shows that you've got to see bands early. I'm just wondering, are there any other ones that come to mind?
Oh, loads. I didn't take my camera with me to every gig I went to, because sometimes I just wanted to enjoy the music. And carrying a load of gear around with you, it's, you always like worried that you know if you put it down it might get broken, or so you couldn't always relax. So yeah, loads of gigs I didn't take a camera to that were great. But I guess it's not a new band, but I came really close to photographing Scott Walker once. So close.
Yeah,
and he's like my all-time probably favorite singer. And it was all set up, it was good to go. I was literally on the way to the shoot when I got a call. They said, "Yeah, he's not going to do it." And I was like, "Oh!" And I was like, "Really? I'm 5 minutes away." And they were like, "No, he's not doing it today."
Oh man!
And that was the one. That was the one that was like, oh,
that hurt.
No. That hurt. I was on.
Well, it is true when you're trying. I know if I'm on just on a level of trying to document something, if I'm looking at it through, for me, I'm recording through my phone, or I'm taking photographs through my phone, I'm kind of pulled out of the moment, and I'm switched over to documenting the moment, whether that's hanging with my kids or an event or whatever. So I can't imagine a concert where I would think that you are forsaking your concert experience for the art that you're working to make, which just is a unique a unique thing. And it's so cool when you can capture it, like in your photo of Johnny Greenwood. You could tell, like, from Radiohead, he's full-fledged in the moment, and you could tell that is a rock and roll show, and that comes out in the photo. And I love when those things come through the photos, and I think that's so great.
Yeah, and those were all, you know, those were all shot on film, so it's not like you could check the back of the camera to make sure your exposures are right and everything. You've got kind of pretty much hope you know what you're doing. And
yeah.
Because, you know, the lights are changing the whole time. You've got strobes going off, and you've got, you know, it's the, you know, three C songs and then you're done. So you've got three songs to get something, and you better get it. Otherwise, it's not like you can go back the next day and say, can we do it again?
Yeah. Well, I think you also have a cool photo of Coldplay, which looks to me like there was right when they came out. I mean, they look so young. What were you at an airport? What's going on in that photo?
That's an ice rink. Okay. That's not my idea.
Okay.
That was the art director. He's like, they're called Coldplay. Where's cold in London? How about an ice rink? And I was like, yeah, okay.
I totally missed that. That's funny. Okay.
Yeah. So they're sort of basically standing on an ice rink while all these kids are just skating around them and trying not to. I mean, they were pretty young. That was, I think, the first album. Is Parachutes? I think that uh-huh. come out that, or was just about to.
That was going
to
be
But yeah, they're pretty young.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man, really cool. Any other photograph stories come to mind, or band stories, or anything else that you want to share here?
I don't know. We talked about the Radiohead thing, and something. It just was a fun little thing. That was in DC, and the day of the shoot, I had a bit of time off, so I went record shopping because why not? I'm in a new city, and I was just on my own. And I went into the local record shop and. I bought, maybe some Kinks records, I think.
Okay.
Went all the way to the States and bought some, you know, Kinks records. But the guy who served me, I know he said, have a good show. And I was like, thinking, okay, he thinks I'm in Radiohead.
Oh, wow.
Because I'm about that age.
Yeah.
And I kind of had that look. And if you don't really know what the rest of the band looked like, maybe I could have been Colin Greenwood, maybe. Okay. So I was like, and it took me, I sort of thought, I didn't quite understand what he was talking about. And I thought, he knows I'm going to a show. How does he know I'm going to a show? And then I walked out and I thought, oh yeah, he thinks I'm in the band. He thinks I'm one of, and he's gonna tell his mates that he had one of Radiohead in the shop today. And I felt really bad because he didn't, he just told me.
I have the opposite of coolness story where some guy thought that I was actually Seth Rogen once. I said, no, I do have curly hair. That's not me. I wish somebody thought I was in Radiohead. That's a cooler story. Well, man, Jamie, I appreciate you just coming on and sharing the story behind some of your photos.
My pleasure.
Man, so much fun. For people listening, I'm putting the link in the show notes, and Jamie's been kind enough to offer 10% off any of these photos, which is the photos are already an awesome price. He's signing the photos, and it's 10% off going just to Songs of Note listeners. So if you click the link in the show notes, it will include that 10% off. Just super cool, super cool picks. Jamie, I'm really glad to have connected with you through the magic of the internet, and appreciate the work you've done. And I'm really grateful for your time today to come talk about your photos.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you for listening to the Songs of Note podcast. Be sure and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. See you next time.